the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz reached back into his past as a high school teacher as he accepted the Democratic nomination for vice president at last night's convention in Chicago.
When I was teaching, every year, we'd elect a student body president. And you know what? Those teenagers could teach Donald Trump a hell of a lot about what a leader is.
With November 5th not far off, the former football coach plotted strategy.
It's the fourth quarter. We're down a field goal, but we're on offense and we've got the ball. We're driving down the field, and boy, do we have the right team.
15 members of Wall's old teams, players, filed onto the stage in their jerseys. Kamala Harris will accept the Democratic presidential nomination tonight. Delegate Rhodesia Ransom.
I'm looking for direction for how she wants us to handle this next 75 days, what it is that we need to do to get people out to vote. And so I'm just looking for her to do what she's been doing all along, which is inspiring and motivating.
Donald Trump made a stop in Asheboro, North Carolina, where he held his first outdoor rally since the assassination attempt last month. This time he spoke from behind bulletproof glass.
Did you see Barack Hussein Obama last night? Take little shots. He was taking shots at your president. And so was Michelle. You know, they always say, sure, please stick to policy. Don't get personal. And yet they're getting personal all night long, these people.
Both of Canada's major freight railroads came to a standstill this morning after they locked out workers over a contract dispute. Operations management expert Greg DeYoung expects us to start feeling the fallout here in the U.S.
The most immediate disruptions would be things like coal and petroleum. Nothing that people are buying directly, but things that affect us pretty quickly.
New government analysis finds a link between fluoride and IQ in children.
Adding low levels of fluoride to drinking water strengthens teeth and reduces cavities. But the Department of Health and Human Services National Toxicology Program has taken a new look at a range of previously published research and reports with, quote, moderate confidence that there is a link between higher levels of fluoride, over 1.5 milligrams per liter, and lower IQ. How many IQ points might be lost by kids was not addressed. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
Here's one precious gem that probably took a while to form.
Diamonds are forever.
A Canadian mining company says it used X-ray technology to unearth a diamond in Botswana that measures 2,492 carats. That makes it the largest sparkler found in more than 100 years. S&P futures are up 3, Dow futures ahead 29. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Is with sports. The Brewers had a 6-4 lead heading into the bottom of the ninth, but Devin Williams allowed some walks. St. Louis able to send it into extra innings. The Cardinals loading up the bases in the bottom of the 10th. Nolan Arenado at the plate. Cover John Fox.
Arenado, deep left. Has he done it? Goodbye! Their backs against the wall. Their season virtually on the line. And Nolan Arenado still with some magic.
The final, the Cardinals 10, the Brewers 6. Game 3 today. NFL concerned for Packers running back A.J. Dillon, who's not practicing after suffering a neck stinger in last week's joint practice in Denver. Dillon had a neck stinger at the end of last season.
We want to be safe and smart. You only get one body, so, you know, thinking about how we can be out there and be as protected.
As Packers running back A.J. Dillon, with sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today, 76 our high this afternoon. The wind southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 79 on Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we replay an interview with one of our favorite comedians, Pat McGann. And I welcome one of the most prolific actors in Hollywood, Wisconsin native Richard Reilly, who has over 400 movie credits.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from Chicago and the Democratic National Convention, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Hank Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning from Chicago, where it is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, August 22nd, 2024, 75 days till Election Day. It's a beautiful morning across Wisconsin, and we thank you for being here wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on social media, or by podcast. Nice to have you along. I got a question for you. Don't you just love Tim Walz even more now? Coach. It was an evening of joy, shall we say. Oh, of course, it had to. It had Oprah Winfrey in there, who was talking about bringing the joy. So we'll talk with Greg Bach and Waukesha in a sec about all the speeches. We'll talk to Joseph Pecky in a little bit, who really did find a great analogy for what we're seeing and hearing coming out of this convention in Chicago. That, you know, there really is something about America that is a big blended family, and that maybe it's time we start treating each other like family instead of, you know, us and them as a bunch of separate families. There were plenty of Wisconsin folks at the convention that we talked to again, including Assembly Democratic leader Greta Neubauer, Deb McGrath, a former 3rd congressional district candidate, talked to us about, you know, how that very swing district is going to go coming out of a spirited primary. We will hear convention audio from Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson talking about infrastructure improvements, as well as two residents who are playing a role in helping get rid of lead water pipes in Wisconsin. Along the way, as always, you can reach the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can leave a comment on Facebook or YouTube, or you can text us at that number as well. We will make sure to see it. And of course, if you haven't already, get signed up for the Up North News daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you as a subscriber there, and we'll tell you about what's in today's edition coming up in just a bit. But first, let's welcome in Mr. Bach from Waukesha, where for the next couple of minutes, you get to listen to two men commiserate about how tired they are. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Well, Pat, back in my day, I used to get to bed early, but now it's getting later and later out.
I took a break during the evening of being locked up here in my hotel room. Again, the routine is running around a lot by day, doing interviews, talking to people. And then while the convention is actually going on and then people are doing the late night parties, you know, I just come back and lock myself in my room here and get everything all edited and prepped for the morning show. Not the most glamorous way to spend time at a convention. but I was doing that, and at one point went down to the hotel lobby to maybe get a libation or something. And I saw several of my Courier Newsroom colleagues from across the country. They were there, and some of them were talking about, you know, what outfit they were going to wear, or what dress or whatever. And they're telling me about which reception, AKA party, you know, they're going to, and the things that are in there. And I was just kind of like, I have to stay in and do my violin lessons. I can say with confidence now, having been to a convention as a delegate back in 2008 and now as a working journalist,
yeah,
the former is better than the latter. It's a nice environment. I'm glad I came. I've seen a lot of old friends. I've seen all kinds of familiar faces. I was in this business before I went into politics. Now I'm back in the business and being reminded, this puppy is a grind. and you're getting it there, just you and all the civic media hosts who are getting shows coordinated and, you know, dealing with technical issues and everything else. We're all going to be very thankful for a return to a normal work schedule next week.
I don't disagree. I mean, we haven't gone anywhere. Jane is actually officially on vacation for the next 2.5 weeks, and I'll be taking over the show for the next 2.5 weeks. It is tough though, because like you want to make sure you're staying on the same message as everyone else, because you got all this great information coming from you, from Todd, from Earl, mm-hmm. from all the people down there, from Maggie Dawn, and you want to keep on top of it and keep the energy going. And like you're planning a show and then you're like, oh, well, we got to talk about this now because something happened at the DNC. The Obamas decided to speak and inspire everyone all night long.
But how dare you?
I mean, honestly, like, there are moments where I say to myself, oh, I wish I could be there. And then I think about you and I think about everyone else running around. I'm like, it would be work first, but then it'd be even more work because you're working even harder. And I don't think you're going to have the same fun as the people who are just like wearing their fun straw hats.
I know. I would see people at the Wisconsin delegation breakfasts, as I will see them again, you know, 2 hours from now or so, and they'll be talking about where they were, and they'll be looking a little bedraggled, you know, but they also know that, you know, this is a special week, and they get to do things they wouldn't normally do, you know, get to see things, you know, the celebrity, you know, and what passes for a celebrity here? What passes for a celebrity is not just, Little John, but also, you know, Nancy Pelosi is a celebrity. If you're at a Democratic delegation breakfast, and when she came in, she was treated like a rock star, as was Cory Booker when he stopped by the Wisconsin breakfast yesterday. So, you know, these are folks you don't normally get to see up close in real life. So we're talking to people from, you know, from their hometowns across Wisconsin, and this is a big deal for them. They're having a great time. There's still some business to attend to. I spent time walking around where the caucus meetings were held yesterday. Mm-hmm. And let me make clear that after putting in, you know, 12,000 steps yesterday or whatever it was, the McCormick Conference Center is a big place. Yeah. And this whole convention is so spread out. Who was saying that they are quite confident there will be more political conventions in Milwaukee?
Kristen Bryce said that.
Kristen, because it's all in the one place, you know, Fiserv, downtown, everything's kind of there, as opposed to Chicago, where the United Center is miles away from downtown and there's nothing else around it. And McCormick Place is well south of downtown. And again, you're just there in that complex. Mm-hmm. And then you're back in downtown where all the hotels are. And it's so spread out. And even the McCormick Conference Center is so spread out for all these different meetings. And I can't even believe I haven't brought up Dempalooza.
What?
Dempalooza, which is just, I mean, it's the exhibit hall, you know, filled with vendors' booths. Oh, so you don't just want a T-shirt with that says, you know, Harris Walz. You want a bedazzled T-shirt? This is the place to go. You go to Dempalooza. There were, you know, different podcasters that were broadcasting from there. There were local vendors. There were allied groups. You know, it's kind of like a mall rats. Political mall rats need a place to go sometimes, and they walk around and, you know, make new friends or see old acquaintances. And then they go to the other side of the convention center and they might go to, you know, the labor caucus meeting or the climate and environment caucus meeting, and, you know, have spirited discussions on what a Harris-Walz administration should do. Are they doing enough? Are they going too far? Are they, you know, this or that? You find that kind of business. And it's all very inside baseball. I get that. It's very intricate. But that's how it ultimately works. At some point, you have to write a bill, you know, and you have to get something through Congress. Mm-hmm. That idea process starts someplace.
Yeah.
And it starts in caucus meetings like that. So there's still a lot that goes on by day to explain why I'm so tired in the early morning. And I'm so tired that the last thing I caught on my phone for Brewers game alerts was that Devin Williams was being replaced.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's not good, because the Brewers had been down and then they were up 6-4.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just see it's 6-6 and Devin Williams is being replaced. I'm like, that can't be good. And most times I'd at that point either tried to dial up the game or, you know, listen to the radio call through the MLB app or, you know, if I'm not near a civic media station that's playing it. And I was too tired last night for that. So you can imagine the joy of waking up this morning and finding out that the Brewers six game winning streak came to an end with a grand slam in the bottom of the 10th for the Cardinals.
By the Cardinals.
Ugh. It was Nolan Arenado hit a grand slam in the bottom of the 10th and off of Trevor McGill. And so the Cardinals end up winning 10-6. They will play the rubber game of that series coming up this afternoon. Devin Williams giving up not one, but two bases loaded walks, which is what tied the game and took it to extra innings. It was his first blown save. I mean, he had how many good outings? Really five or six really great outings after coming back from injury. So hopefully just a blip.
It better be, man.
I'm
serious. We're riding a good wave here.
I know. I don't want this to be the point that we all look back on and go, oh yeah, remember that game. Joey Ortiz had a two-run double in the eighth that had given the Brewers that 6-4 lead. But how about Jackson Churio? Four for five, stole his 18th base already this season. He is now the youngest player to get four hits in a game since Juan Soto did it in 2018. What a kid.
Very good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Final game this afternoon, pregame at 12:40 on civic media stations in Richland Center. We're seeing Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh. Then the Brewers travel to Oakland for a three-game series. And then there is a short homestand, just three games next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, against San Francisco before they head back on the road again. We're going to talk and play some snippets from the convention coming up in just a moment, but I'll close simply by saying, remember two nights ago when I miscalculated, I thought the roll call would be a good time to go grab some dinner. Mm-hmm. Then I missed the first half of what would turn out to be an amazing convention event. I made up for it this time. I made the calculation that I could go downstairs, grab a beverage, check in with my national coworkers at the start of Bill Clinton's speech. And so I did that. Went down, took care of business. Okay, I said, okay, I got to go back and finish writing. Came back up to my room, and I look at the TV as I walk in, and Bill Clinton is still speaking. And just like, okay, that one I got right.
Yeah.
Not that Bubba still doesn't have things to say. Not that a lot of delegates don't find him, charming and remember him well as a leader and everything. I'm just saying that from a speech-making perspective. How did you put it with Joe Biden's remarks?
Bill Clinton heard Joe did 45 minutes and Clinton's like, hold my beer.
Bubba. We'll be back with more snippets from the convention coming up in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north, even when we're in Chicago, as we are live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
We will tell you why John Lee Hooker is part of today's history lesson coming up 30 minutes from now on Up North News Radio on this Thursday morning, 6:20 right now. Greg, you get a lot of souvenirs when you go to a convention. If you want, you can get the little goodie bag and you can fill it with, you know, buttons and hats. You can get the T-shirts, whatever. You know that they were, of course, handing out cheesehead hats. You could see the whole Wisconsin delegation in their cheesy headgear, shall we say?
It was delectable.
That was two mornings ago. Yesterday, what they were giving out to folks was actual cheese. I hold in my hand a block of Hook's cheddar. Now, what I first noticed was I was interviewing State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire, and she's showing me a block of Hook's cheddar, and I'm looking, and there's a big 20 in the middle of it. It's Hook's 20-year cheddar. I'm like, where did you get that? And she said, oh, yeah, look, other people had little blocks of cheese. And I'm like, oh, that's it. And one guy, kind of a mutual acquaintance, comes by and says, here, have mine. I don't need this. And now I looked and I realized that this is, as I hold up for the camera here, this is the 5-year cheddar. So it's still good. Don't get me wrong. But I'm now old enough to have officially become a cheese snob. And would I have loved that 20-year cheddar? But this will work just fine, too. I don't have a cheese knife or anything, so I'm just gonna have to gnaw the plastic off of this in a little while.
Take that home and share it with Dr. Kreitlow and
yeah, you're
enjoy right. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Get some nice cool cocktails. Get on the boat. A nice charcuterie board.
Mm-hmm. Yep, a little prosciutto on there and a little baguette. Oh yeah, we could do it upright.
See, or that's why I want to go to the convention. I want to just get swag.
There's definitely swag to be had. I didn't have a good verb for that. Swag to be swung.
There's swag to be swung into this bag of my swag.
That's right. At the convention, there was a brief but effective dig at Foxconn as part of one of the videos about Donald Trump's many failures during his presidency. There was some Milwaukee representation from the podium from Mayor Cavalier Johnson, who talked about infrastructure and restoring the Bronzeville neighborhood that had been largely leveled to build I-43 back in the 60s and 70s. There was also Deanna Branch and Rashawn Spivey, who talked about getting lead pipes replaced thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law. And we're going to hear all the audio from them coming up at 7:30 this morning. But in terms of some of the remarks from last night, let's start with the main event, because, of course, this was about the vice presidential nomination of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who largely delivered a stump speech that a lot of us have already heard multiple times, but it was a good chance for other folks to hear it for the first time. His backstory, growing up on a farm, the military service, being a teacher, running for Congress almost on a lark, you know, thinking there's no way you can win in such a deeply Republican district, but clearly he resonated with folks. So much to say, but again, it's just the attitude that he brings to the ticket that I think also motivated a lot of other speakers. And you're going to notice, again, that theme of serving with happiness, not like, you know, Uncle Grumpy over on the other ticket. So here's Governor Walz formally accepting the nomination of his party.
Thank you, first of all, to Vice President Harris. Thanks for putting your trust in me and for inviting me to be part of this incredible campaign. And a thank you to President Joe Biden for 4 years of strong, historic leadership. It's the honor of my life to accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States. We're all here tonight for one beautiful, simple reason. We love this country. So thank you to all of you here in Chicago and all of you watching at home tonight. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for your determination. And most of all, thank you for bringing the joy to this fight.
There it is. There's that theme of bringing joy. At one point before, did you see before Governor Walz's address, some of the old football players that he coached from Mankato West?
Yeah.
Coming out in their jerseys. They're all 25 years older now. But it was adorable watching
hey, coach,
them come
still
up.
Fits. All right, Walter. Yes, it still fits.
Yes. So here's how Governor Walz wrapped up his speech last night.
Donald Trump. That's how we'll build a country where workers come first. Healthcare and housing are human rights. And the government stays the hell out of your bedroom. That's how we make America a place where no child is left hungry, where no community is left behind, where nobody gets told they don't belong. That's how we're gonna fight. And as the next president of the United States always says, when we fight, when we fight, when we fight, thank you. God bless. Donald Trump.
So there's Jim Walz, but again, it was a theme that carried through in all the remarks. And perhaps in the next hour, we'll play Pete Buttigieg, who talked about his family, a family that would not have been possible, you know, just over a generation ago. And Joe Zepecki is going to dwell on this a bit more coming up in our next segment. But let me wrap up this segment with a little bit from Oprah Winfrey, who, of course, has, you know, spent her life being a motivator. And again, getting to a theme that went through all of their speeches and more, that public service is a positive thing. We've gotten so negative and cynical about politics, and oftentimes for good reason, but it's not going away. We still need politics. We still need public service. We still need a functional government. So why not do it in a way that is positive? And not, as Oprah's going to lay out, the way that, you know, Donald Trump has been doing it, which has been very dark and scary. Here's Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, wrong clip. Sorry there.
I am so honored to have been asked to speak on tonight's theme about what matters most to me, to you, and all of us Americans: freedom. There are people who want you to see our country as a nation of us against them, people who want to scare you, who want to rule you, people who'd have you believe that books are dangerous and assault rifles are safe, that there's a right way to worship and a wrong way to love, people who seek first to divide and then to conquer. But here's the thing. When we stand together, it is impossible to conquer us.
There's Oprah Winfrey making that point. And again, it was woven through by speaker after speaker, including once again, some Republicans, current Republicans and former Trump supporters, saying that this is not the Republican Party they want to be a part of. And they want something better to come along after they defeat Trumpism. Joseph Beck.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Imagine being able to detect pests on your crops simply by listening to them eat. I'll have more details right after this.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This groundbreaking concept has become a reality with the introduction of the insect eavesdropper. And UW entomology professor Emily Bick is the co-founder, and she says that by harnessing the power of sound, this sensor offers farmers a new way to detect and monitor insect pests directly on their crops.
It's basically a guitar mic that we clipped onto a plant which had an insect feeding on it. We thought of the idea through a trip actually to a sugarcane plantation in Indonesia. I was working with all of these population models trying to predict when pests show up, and the farmers I was working with said, we don't care when the adults show up. We really want to know, are the larvae in the stock? In the state of Wisconsin, this is kind of like a stem borer in soybeans or European corn borer. And we thought we can actually use the plant stem as a way to amplify the sound and actually hear or eavesdrop on insects.
That's UW entomology professor Emily Bick along with us. I'll have a look at your morning markets right after this.
All right, team, pay attention to this game film about Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. See here? When dairy farms grow Plenish soybeans for their cows,
they have lower overall feed costs.
Good eye, Jake.
And they maximize milk fat production.
So they increase the return on their investment.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. For lower feed costs and higher milk fat and dairy cows, what do we plant?
Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
Learn more at pioneer.com/happycows.
I'm Charity Seewecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your morning markets. Cash corn is trading at 376, up a half, and new crop corn is trading at 398 and a quarter with no change. Cash beans are trading at 957 and three quarters, that's down 5 1/4 cents, and new crop beans are trading at 976 and a quarter, and that is down 5 1/4 cents. Cash wheat is trading at 522 and a half, that's up 2 3/4, and new crop wheat is trading at 546 and a half, and that is up 2 1/2 cents. And September Class 3 milk contract is trading at 22.59 a hundredweight. That's down 2 cents. And October milk is trading at 22.76, down 9 cents. Barrel cheese closed yesterday at 2.28 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese closed at 2.09 and a half. And the double A butter closed at 3.16. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today, 76 our high this afternoon. The wind southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 79. On Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Join us on our next show for the last day of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, live with Trygve Olson and more. It's going to be a party. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Let's continue Up North News Radio's coverage of the Democratic National Convention, as we do every Thursday at 6:34, with our friend Joseph Pecky. Joe, how are you?
I'm emotional, man. I'm not going to lie. My better half asked, like, are you going to get through this? These are moving.
You're
moving
getting all the feels.
Evenings. Yeah. But they're good feels. They're good feels.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. That's the theme here. And again, we don't know what history will look back on, if they'll call this just a feel good moment or something. But I would actually start with what Pete Buttigieg said, although it's very similar to what Barack Obama said before that, is that rather than shying away from the word politics, which is what we've been doing, and I think that's been a mistake all that time, is to say, no, politics plays a role in our lives, whether you like it or not. So why don't we embrace a better brand of politics, a better style of politics than what we've had, the doom and gloom of the past, 8-9 years.
Yeah. And that last 8-9 years is sort of plays a central role in the big picture thoughts that I've been trying to have. It is so easy to get lost in these moments. And I think what's more rewarding, or I find more rewarding, is trying to figure out where moments fit into a broader sweep of American history. And what has occurred to me as I've been thinking about the convention and doing some reading the last couple of days, when the Berlin Wall came down and the Cold War came to an end, an era began that was sort of called the end of history. Like, that was it. History was over. And what came next was going to be an America unrivaled on the world stage, and all of this technological progress and quantum leaps forward in computing and technology and everything were coming, and all of these incredible demographic changes were coming, and the country was going to become more accepting and inclusive. And that stuff started to happen. And then that through line got interrupted by a war on terror, when planes fell out of the sky into buildings in a heinous attack that interrupted that history. And then America found its way and made history in 2008. And it wasn't just about Barack Obama and the first Black president and a sort of delivery of a promise made by a preacher standing in front of Abraham Lincoln's, memorial in Washington, D.C. It was about a coalition of the ascendant and a changing face of America that was becoming far more diverse, where interracial couples and same-sex couples were becoming far more ordinary, and families weren't looking like they had for generations, where it was just a mom and a dad and two kids and a dog and a picket fence. And that evolution of America continued for a while. And then it sort of got interrupted for the last 9 years by this guy named Donald Trump, who made everything feel like a five-alarm fire and an emergency that had to be dealt with right now, this very second, because everything is at risk. And what we're seeing now is that that changing face of America, of what the American family looks like, of how inclusive we are, of how diverse we are, it did happen. That's what's on display in Chicago this week. This is a convention that looks like America, that sounds like America, that loves and lives like America, whether it is blended families or mixed race couples or same-sex couples or very traditional, in that sense, couples. And it is just astonishing to see the fervor with which that kaleidoscope of humanity inside the United Center loves this country. And the USA chants and the patriotism that can only come from people who understand what a lot of these speakers have spoken to, which is that we haven't always lived up to those founding ideals, but boy, we've made a lot of progress. Pete Buttigieg's family was not possible 25 years ago, but it is today. Kamala Harris and Doug Emhoff's marriage was not possible 50 years ago, but it is today. the progress we've made and the outpouring of support for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz reflects not just a desire to turn the page and for something new and something joyful, but it also represents us getting back on track to an America that has been promised for at least all of the 21st century, where we are the preeminent nation, first among, you know, all others, and we lead the way, and we do it in a way where our democracy and our country always become more inclusive and more welcoming and more diverse, and that's a good thing. And it's just incredibly powerful and incredibly remarkable to see, and I love it.
I want to thank you for helping me come up with a title for today's episode, Our Big Beautiful Blended Family.
That's America. That's who we are.
Right. And understanding that we're all in it, and much like your real family, oftentimes you can't really pick them. And so you might have that drunk uncle who represents you in Congress, or that really cranky conservative one who represents you, or represented you at one time in the White House. But they're all still part of the family of America, and that maybe we should try thinking about how we do things like a family, do them together rather than a bunch of strangers who, you know, some people insist on dividing.
Amen, brother. And that's one of the things that has been so striking about this week, is the number of times that speakers from that platform in Chicago have made just that point, that you don't have to agree with everything you're hearing, that for some people, the changes that are happening, they feel very, very different, and it's they can't quite get there just as fast as maybe their kids or grandkids come, but that doesn't mean that they don't get to be part of it going forward. And that type of like inclusivity and understanding and grace, the allowance of grace to our neighbors or our grandparents or to others who don't see the world exactly the way we do, you're seeing that on display at the Democratic National Convention. You did not see that on display at the Republican National Convention. That is not the campaign that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are running. They do not embody or practice. They might believe or say they believe in a politics of grace, but they don't operate like they do. And that is one more difference that I think is wrapped up in why there's this outpouring of support and momentum behind Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, excuse me.
Yeah. And what we've seen out of the Trump-Vance ticket this week, including Vance's visit to Kenosha and Trump's low energy performance in Michigan, is to just fall back on the politics of fear and division, because, again, like certain members of our own household families or extended family, sometimes there's always that one who the other, you know, the one who's not just like us is, you know, meant to be lashed out at and always presented as a danger. But I mean, they're taking it to such extremes. Trump was engaged in such hyperbole. You can't cross the street without being raped or stabbed or something like that. It's at that time when you say, okay, uncle, this was a nice visit. I got to go now, except that he's got to stick around for, you know, 75 more days.
Yeah, I mean, probably referring to the Trump-Vance ticket as a one-trick pony is an insult to ponies somewhere.
Yeah.
But the other part of this that just strikes me is when I look at Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, I see people who are curious about the world and who are open to growth, their own and other people's. And when I see the way that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance comport themselves, what I see is they only know one move, and that's to turn the volume and the heat up even higher, right? So on Tuesday, we're going to turn it up to 11. Well, that didn't work, and we've got another day on Wednesday. I guess we got to turn it up to 12.
Yeah.
Oh, it still didn't work, and it's still not election day. I guess on Thursday, we're going up to 13. That is the only move that they have, and that can work for a little while, and it did. It allowed Donald Trump to interrupt this historic trend that I was making reference to when we started, but it's gotten stale, as Barack Obama pointed out the other day. And the more you double and triple and quadruple and quintuple down on the same old thing, the further and further removed from the reality of this country and the lived experience of millions of Americans and their families and their friends you get. And once you, before you know it, you're Donald Trump and you're J.D. Vance, and you look back and you go, oh no, we have lost the plot. They have lost the plot.
Well, and really, this didn't come out of thin air. We've been saying this for as long as we've been doing, you know, these visits, is that there's so very little, there's little to nothing out there that is proactive in terms of, here's what I want to do for you. I mean, we talk about cutting taxes, cutting regulations, cutting red tape, but when it comes to an actual proposal, you know, there's never been an infrastructure plan. There's never been a replacement to the Affordable Care Act. And I mean, honestly, my next question to you, Joe, is going to be, well, what might turn this race around? What kinds of things might, you know, the Trump-Vance ticket be able to do? Honestly, one of them is pretty easy. Just put some kind of a plan out there. I mean, we know what Project 2025 is, yeah. And you want to put some space between yourself and that, then fine. Propose something that's not that.
But they just don't have it. And the problem, I wish it was as straightforward as Donald Trump is the problem with the Republican Party, full stop. It's not.
No.
Because Donald Trump hijacked, took over, and now owns the Republican Party whole scale. They are devoid of policy ideas. I never thought I would long for the day where a Paul Ryan policy blueprint at least provided the, you know, something to debate against, but yeah. They don't have any ideas. And it's not the fault of Republicans or conservatives who are voters and are going about their lives and living it. They were failed by their party and by Donald Trump, who conned Republicans into believing that he could make it all better. It's not the fault of the people who voted for him that he couldn't deliver on a promise he had no business making in the first place. And that's the other part of what's remarkable about this week. We are learning more about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, but we are not seeing a vision of them that presents them as infallible. Mm-hmm. We are seeing elected officials and leaders and up-and-comers who are real live human beings who make mistakes. And the line of the week from my standpoint so far was Joe Biden saying, I made a lot of mistakes, but America, I gave my best to you. And that is what we ought to remember in this unique moment. And as this movement builds behind Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, it is not about the two of them. There is nothing that much more special about the two of them than many, many other Americans who grew up in similar circumstances. They, through ambition and hard work and skill and luck, are about to find themselves, you know, in a remarkable place in American history where they can impact people's lives. But it doesn't mean that they're infallible. It doesn't mean that we should worship them the way that the other side of the aisle has turned everything that one of our country's main political parties does is in fealty and furtherance of the cult of Donald Trump. That is not the way that this system works. It never has, and it never will. And that difference is just very, very stark and clear to me after 2.5 days, 3 days of convention watching.
All right. Well, let's try not to end on too down a note, but let's understand that once the convention's over, you're going to get into the rough and tumble of the campaign. What do you think somebody is saying to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in terms of, okay, things are looking good now. Here's what you got to make sure you do, or here's what you got to make sure you don't do. I mean, if you're giving them any kind of free advice as they hit the road after Chicago, what is it?
This sounds pretty trite, but they got to keep doing what they're doing. They don't need any advice from me. Frankly, they don't need any advice from any political consultants anywhere. It sounds like they got some advice from political consultants after, you know, a week of their ticket, and they went, yeah, no, we disagree with all you pollsters. You don't know any better than we do. And God bless them.
Well, because he's a coach, you're a football coach, and you know sometimes you go in the locker room and go, you guys, just keep doing what you're doing. And if that's the best advice, don't overthink it. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much for that. We won't overthink this either, and we'll catch up with you next week. Have a great weekend.
You too, man. Enjoy.
All right, and we'll be back with today's history lesson coming up next. This is Up North News Radio from Chicago on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Greg Bach looks like he's about to start the Macarena to this song. He's got the hands going out and up.
The Macarena. How dare you, sir?
This is the Supremes. Where Did Our Love Go? It hit number one in the U.S. this day 60 years ago today. This day 1964, and it would be the first of five straight number one songs from the Supremes. This is today's history lesson for August 22nd, 2024. On this day in 1902, the Cadillac Motor Company was founded. And I don't think at the time it was founded for, you know, just to be a car for either the very wealthy or the very old. But I'm telling you this, I've had a lot of good vehicles in my day, including the Jeep Wrangler I've got now. But it's a little bumpy. It's a little noisy. And now that I'm in my 60s officially, I cannot wait for whatever next car I get, because it's going to be a Buick or a Cadillac. And I'm just going to park my butt in there and ride smoothly.
When I was a kid, it was always the Lincoln Town Car. That was another one. Like, guys, like, aspired, like, I get that Lincoln Town Car, I'm going to be living on the hog right now, my friends.
It's weird to think of the car lines that don't exist anymore. Oh, you know, God, like, Lincoln is no longer around. Plymouth, I had a Plymouth Fury. You know, that was my first vehicle.
Yeah.
But what our first... really nice. It was a used car, but at one point it was new off the shore. It was a Mercury Cougar XR7, and it was kind of in that Lincoln Town Car thing. You could land an airplane on the hood of that thing. It was such a long car. Two-tone. It was a blue car with a butterscotch, you know, leather top, not leather, vinyl upholstered top. It would look so goofy today, but it was so comfortable.
Your car was nice. On time, Kreitlow, but you were 20 minutes late.
Exactly. And it was so sad when it just started burning oil like crazy and we had to let it go. But anyway, happy birthday to all the Cadillacs out there. On this day in 2007, the Texas Rangers beat the Baltimore Orioles in a baseball game. No big deal, you say?
Yeah.
But the final score was 30-3. The most runs ever scored.
I just wanted to do that.
History. We mentioned earlier John Lee Hooker. He was born this day in 1917, passed away in 2001. Tori Amos is 61 years old today.
Pat.
Yes.
I love Tori Amos. I've seen her four times in concert.
Have you really?
Yeah, she is. I've seen her twice with a band, twice solo, and all four times were phenomenal.
Oh, that's great. She was born this day in 1963. Myra Amos. Myra Amos, born to a religious family in North Carolina, changed her name and would become an alt-rock icon of the 90s with songs about women, right-wing politics, and religious oppression. And this is Cornflake Girl from there. Jeff puts on Facebook that Cadillac is a land yacht. Yes, agreed. And he says Lincoln is still around. The Navigator and the Aviator are still being made. So I stand corrected.
Are Pontiacs still around?
No, it's Pontiac that's gone. Mercury is gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, everything from AMC. Who could forget the Gremlin, you know?
Oh, boy.
All those. would you want to? Dua Lipa is all over the music stations these days, and she is 29 years old today. Also on the birthday list today, Brewers legend Paul Molitor is 68 years old today. 90s country singer Colin Ray, not the Brewers pitcher, the singer, is 64 today. Ty Burrell from Modern Family is 57 years old. And comedic actress Kristen Wiig is 51. And she still brings so much funny with everything that she does. I'm getting an update from Jeff, who reminds us that Pontiac is history. His first car, there you go, the Renault Encore.
And you said it the French way, too, Pat. Ooh la la.
Renault, that's right. Let's see, 1987 on this day, the number one song was by Madonna.
Very underrated film, I must say.
Who's That Girl's the title song to a movie starring Madonna that, according to the Song Facts wrap-up of This Day in History, a movie that was as equally forgettable as the song.
Whatever!
I believe that Mr. Bach would take issue with people at Song Facts.
It's a fun romp with Griffin Dunne. It's fun.
There you go. Let's see. We haven't had... Hey, Pat, don't you always play like something really schmaltzy, like Yacht Rocky or something from the 70s? Maybe a little light rock? Of course I do. Here's the number one song from 1970. It's Bread.
I need to know how they came up with the name of this band.
Oh, I'm guessing that they made the band. They wanted to make some money. What did they call money back in that day? They wanted to make some bread.
Oh, if they were like a rock band, like, yeah, totally. We love the money and the chicks. But this band's like, we just want to make music and make bread, too. Mm.
Okay. Now go look up. We might have time in a segment yet.
Okay.
Look up Bread's song, Mother Freedom. And that was how they started before they realized there was money to be made in slow, mellow songs.
Oh, boy. Mother Bread's Freedom. Make it with you.
Yep, Bread's Make It With You was number one this day in 1970. On the national day calendar today, this is National Tooth Fairy Day. This is National Surgical Oncologist Day. All right, surgical oncologist. Hmm. Helps take care of you, you know, with dealing with cancer scares, is highly trained and everything. Do you think the surgical oncologist is getting the most billing today? No, it's the tooth fairy. Everybody's all about the tooth fairy today. This is National Burger Day, but this is also National Plant Milk Day. You know, one of them is, I want a big beefy burger, but a little glass of oat milk, please. Like, no. We're not doing plant, and you're not calling it milk. It's oat juice
or almond juice, or whatever. You and Jane, just my God. Yep. Grandma and Grandpa, go to bed.
It's not milk. This is a take your cat to the vet day as well. Did you find that Bread song, or I'll carry on?
I did.
Okay, you got it. Oh, there you go. See, that's how Bread started.
Yeah. Okay, enough of that. All right.
I thought that was going to take us on out of here.
Okay.
Look, I left you all of 20 seconds for your hot take on BLTs for National Sandwich Month.
It's not happening today. No, next week. Get you out of
this. Really?
Get you home. We're going to get you home. I want an audience. I want Melissa Kay or Brittany Merlot or somebody. I want to have this discussion.
Noted. All right. Noted. We got to have something.
And if you listen to Matt and Air on Air this week, folks, you already know where this is going.
Oh, okay. You're just missing, you know, Kreitler's reaction to it, along with Brittany and Melissa. Yeah. All right. Well-
the Shaw, WAUK. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Thursday, final day of DNC coverage. Tonight is Kamala Harris's night. The Devil's Advocates will take you live to the United Center. You got to listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Democratic National Convention is in Chicago. and our team will be there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of the Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Democrats' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Listen for updates, plus special coverage at 6 each night. Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.